We're going to, I'm going to invite Tom Akins and Jesse to join me up here today. And we're going to have a conversation today. And I wanted this gentleman to come up here because, first of all, I want to appreciate them because they've been really a strong support to our body, to our community here, and been leaders, not by title, but by way of life. You know, how many know we don't get busy with titles here, you know? I think leadership is not a title. Leadership is a way of life, how you live your life. Being a person who's dependable, a person who is steady in your walk with God, a person who lives a life that honors Jesus. So you guys have been a testament to that, and I want to appreciate that. So I want to ask this gentleman a few questions today based on what's been going on, and we're going to get to hear from them. And how many are excited about that? Well, why don't we pray first and get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you today. We want to bless you for this moment. I want to thank you for Tom Akins. I want to thank you for Jesse. I want to thank you for your gifting, your calling, your grace on their lives. And I want to thank you that this moment is dedicated to you. Holy Spirit, that you have your way, that you bring glory to the name of Jesus, that you build us today, help us today. We honor you and we want to thank you and give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. And so, in the past couple months as a church, we've been talking a lot about community. And I'm going to ask this gentleman to kind of give us their thoughts on the things that we've been talking about. And I want to start with Tom, who is next to me here. You and I know that when we look at the body of Christ as Christians, generally, when we look at ourselves, we find that we haven't been able to be as effective as we should be. In your own words, Tom, what would you think is causing us as Christians to not be as effective as we ought to be?
I think the problem with the reason why the majority of Christians have not been effective is we've taken on the culture of the world in our churches. We've taken on that kind of, this culture is identified by consumerism and spectatorism. You know, today I'm going to go home after church and I'm going to watch somebody play football and I'm going to eat food prepared for me. You know, right. I'm going to spectate and I'm going to eat, but I'm not going to produce food and I'm not going to, certainly not going to toss the ball around. And that's fine for some avenues of our life, but when it comes down to a brother calling me on a Wednesday night saying, I can't get a hold of John, or I can't, you know, church isn't open today. Tom, I'm in a hard situation. What do I do? That's when you really find out, am I prepared to minister to a brother or sister in Christ? Am I prepared? Do I have the tools? Have I been watching? And a lot of our churches are based on this. We get, and they've been amazing. We have some amazing pastors out there. They're fun to watch. It's like, wow, what a great word. But did I apply it to my life? I've often thought, if they took my Bible away tomorrow and said, how much of the Bible do you actually know? How much have you hidden in your heart? And I'd have to say, well, there's some that are right there. There are some. Therefore, I know the plans I have for you, Lord. Plans for welfare, not to calamity, to give you a future and a home. That's locked in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have ever life. That's locked in. But there's a lot of stuff that's not locked in. And there's a lot of time I have not really, truly prayed fervently. I've prayed, Lord, I pray that Jesse wouldn't have that cold anymore. But how fervent was that, you know? And I think we've taken on that aspect in our churches of letting somebody else prepare the word, letting somebody else read the Bible, letting somebody else pray, deferring to somebody else, taking on that culture and letting that invade our church. Whereas The Word of God says that everyone should come with a psalm, a hymn, a word of inspiration. And a lot of times I've been asked in the past, what do you get out of church? And I've responded with, I don't go there to get. I go there to give.
Amen.
And I could say that I've had brothers and sisters here that the thing that keeps me going is knowing that that brother is going to be there. That brother is going to be there at that door and shake my hand. If he can make it, I can make it. If that brother's putting out those signs, hey, if you can put out the signs, brother, I'm going to be there and help you put out the signs. If this brother over here is going to be on the prayer line, I can make that effort to be on the prayer line because I want to minister and put that out there. And I think when we take on that attribute instead of the consumer, I'm consuming a great word or I'm watching a great praise and worship team. And I think when we change our paradigm from that to realizing it's up to us to build ourselves up and bring something. Amen?
Now, Tom, that's great. In trying to shift from being consumers, what are the small steps that the average Christian could adopt? Maybe they can't maybe talk like everybody else or preach like everybody else, or they're not gifted to talk. But what can the average person do? We have the attitude, I'm going to church not to just consume, but to give, to get. Like small bites, small size things that people can grab on. Like, I'm going to be part, to place, to contribute, to help someone else.
I think just, first of all, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Everybody's gifting is differently. There are people who are really gifted to like minister to homeless people. If you said, hey, we're going to leave and we're going to go up in Seattle and pass out sandwiches, there's people whose hearts light up. Yeah. And there are people who say, I'm going to teach a finance class, and their hearts light up. Very different gifts. And since we all have unique gifts, don't compare yourself. Don't compare yourself to somebody who's had a lot of practice. I've had a lot of practice talking on the microphone. Yeah. Here and when I teach part-time at the college there. So this isn't hard for me, but don't compare yourself. What you have to say is just as important as what I have to say. It might even be more important. So first of all, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Oh, that brother prays so well. That doesn't matter. Pray to God. Pray the way your heart tells you to pray for the situation. Read the Word of God. Get out of the Word of God what you think it's telling you, because God's going to share with everybody differently. Everybody has a gifting, and everybody can be as built up in that. And just to get past that whole comparison thing, because this is the one place we shouldn't be compared.
Right.
It's the one place where that doesn't matter. It's, we're not being graded on a curve. It's each of us individually having that relationship with Christ Jesus and having it to the fullness of that relationship. And when you have that relationship to the fullness of Christ Jesus in your gifting, you are going to be just fine.
Now, one of the lines you said was, what if the Bible was taken from you? Would you have anything in your heart? Did anybody get hit by that just as I got? So I want you to think about that deeply, because if we found ourselves in a time where you can have it on your phone, like, they say they deleted it off the iPhones and Androids and all that, and you can have it. Do you have it inside of you? Think about what David said, I hide your word inside my heart. And I think that that was something that really hit me. And I think we all need to think about it a little bit more, right? I want to turn to Jess here with one question. So Jess, we've been talking about community in this church, the past 2 weeks, encouraging this concept. Would you please share with us why community matters?
Sure. No. When it comes to community, you can't do it solo. Community gets other people involved, and I've noticed every time that I've taken my act solo, as far as my Christian act, it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. Thinking, oh well, I know enough. I have enough information. And the thing that really, really hard was, it's so important for us to speak life and speak God's love and speak God's grace and mercy. But is it being seen by the person that's saying it? And when I'm out and about doing stuff by myself, there's no one available to help me. And when you get people together, you're getting from each other. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. You are making my gift work in your life, and your gift is working and back and forth this way, so you can build it up in that way. When you're looking at communities, if I knew nothing about what church is in the Western part where we live, if I didn't know anything about that, and I just read it in the Bible, what the Bible says, what church looked like and what they did, I would be so confused. I'd be super confused on how church model in America is done compared to what was in the Bible. People were involved in the Bible. They went to each other's house. They were learning from each other. They were praising God. They were thankful. They got involved. Everybody was a part of it. And I'm thinking how important this is for us, not just as individuals, but for those that are actually seeking the truth. There are people out there, I believe, that really want to know what God has called them to do, and they don't know. And sitting just in a seat, it's so hard to know, because you just don't know. We're just getting that one message, which is good, and by Tuesday or Wednesday, we forgot what the message was anyways. There was no practical application on what we're supposed to do with the word. And the growth, it's just not there. And especially how important this one another is going to be is this. The times that we're living in today, this day that we live in today, the generation and the culture that is in the West today, this more postmodernism type of thinking and living, we have to have people of the Christian faith that are walking and living it, and it can be seen within us. And I believe that can only be done in a community type of environments. When Paul was writing letters to the church in the New Testament, he was writing them to the cities, right? To Corinth and Philippia and Ephesus. He was writing them letters to those communities. We should be involved. I mean, I think about where we live at, Sherry and I, where we live at, that community. I'm thinking, we can't just overlook this. We have to know, okay, we live here. Right. Who are our neighbors? I mean, who are the people that we live around? And how can we live and invite people in to share what God is doing today? So that was a few points, Pastor, that I think are very important as far as community. You can't do it alone. You have to be involved. And we can't look at this praying and studying your Bible as if it's some daunting task that you have to do. The furthest I have been from God in my Christian walk is where my Bible was collecting the most dust in the library. When I had a prayerless, and I'm talking about being a Christian and not talking to God. And the more that I begin not to talk to God or pray, the easier it became not to pray anymore. The things that I was doing in my life that I knew that did not measure up to God's word, the easier it became to continue doing them, because this hardness was happening over the heart, and it became normal. And I know what scripture says about this. I am a man that was deceiving myself. If you're around other people in a community that love you, I promise you, that would not easily be done, because you're coming together and you're having fellowship. You're searching because you really want to have communion with God. And the Holy Spirit will start recognizing things within you, and then you'll begin to address them, because you don't want to be separate from God. I don't think anybody does. Anyway, so those are some important things for community, Pastor.
Very, very important, because, you know, we're so accustomed in our culture to be individuals, you know, isolate ourselves, and we think that the more you can do all things by yourself, the stronger you are, the better you are, which is definitely a lie. But when, as Christians, we have to be very intentional in really pursuing community. Because, like you say, you cannot be all that God has called you to be alone. I think about a log. If you put a log of fire and you put it alone, that log of fire is going to burn out. But if you put more logs together, it's going to keep the fire going. So how do we keep the fire going? We can't isolate ourselves. We have to come together. We have to pursue life together. One more question on that, Jesse. What is the practical way we can deal with the sense, the inclination of isolating ourselves? You know, that tendency of not being able to take that step, to make that call, to connect with people. Is there anything you would suggest that each of us can do? It? Does anybody deal with the temptation to isolate? Right. Yeah, we all do that. Just like, I'm not going to bother anybody. I don't think anybody wants to hear from me or care about me. How do we combat that?
Very challenging. And I don't think there's just one answer for this. But what I do believe is this. When we get up each day, I couldn't stress this enough, talking to God. And I mean, searching for the heart of the Father. If our desire is not to go and to go into communion and have a relationship with Christ, if that's not a desire of ours, I would say it has to be something that you have to work out before the Lord. And what I mean by that is this. I just don't, you know, I don't have a desire to get in there. I'm just okay being isolated. The last thing we want to do is work through this in our own might, right? So you ask the Holy Spirit for conviction. I want you to make me feel really uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable. I know it's wrong for me, but I'm comfortable doing it right now. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you permission right now to start messing with me. Yeah. Mess with me. Make me feel uncomfortable. And start engaging a conversation with the Lord. And speak to him, whatever your words may be. Whatever that recipe is, right? That was a great word today. Whatever that is, however that comes out, talk to him, wrestle through it, and be okay wrestling with it. There has been times I have wrestled things with prayer, and I have been just laid down on my carpet, and I'm like, I need an answer, need an answer, need an answer. And I'll get up, and I have no answer, but I know something changed. This is what we do. You keep on pressing on. So practically, I would say there is a war. Right, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So please understand that too. We were just the other week talking about the full armor of God, that we have to be equipped properly. So understand there's also a spiritual element that is going to want to isolate you. So recognize that also. So I would say this is, you know, we have teams that are getting together during the week. We're praying together. Those are important things. Get in there. Even if you're not going to even be praying, but get in there. And start developing those principles. Those are disciplines going along with discipleship, what is part of the Great Commission.
You know, and just as you, a little segue to that is, we've been talking about those groups which we call the spiritual support systems, that everybody ought to be one of them. And we did suggest also that if you know a spiritual support system and the times don't work for you, you haven't been able to participate, it's important that you get into one that works for you, because everybody needs that. And all of us here, we're involved in a spiritual support system. But I want to direct this question to Tom. I know you are in one of them. What's the value been for you? What value have you gotten out of having a spiritual support system of some guys that you connect with and talk with during the week?
Well, there are several. One of them is just the whole, the problem we have, another problem we have is our culture is the me monster thing. It's all about me. And like the other day, I was thinking about, we got a prayer call coming up on Tuesday night. And another brother texted, hey, brothers, be ready for the prayer call. And I just thought, you know, I wasn't the only one thinking about that. Everybody's thinking about that. And I was so happy to know that, you know something, first of all, I'm not the only one. And then it holds me accountable, literally. It's like they're going to be on this call. And it holds me accountable to say, if they can be on the call, I can be on the call. They've got just as much important stuff in their life as I do in mine. My life's not any more important. My time isn't any more valuable than theirs. So therefore, if they're going to be on the call, I'm going to be on the call. And it's really helped me also, because it has created an environment where I get to know things about my brothers that I never would have known. because here we don't get to know that. We don't get to have that conversation. But on that call, maybe there's four or five, and you might even get that time when it's just you and the other brother on the phone first before the other brothers come on the line. And it's like, hey, how's your week been going? Oh, this is what I'm going through. And it's like, wow. And I'm like, just really knowing that, first of all, I'm not alone. Secondly, I get to know stuff about people and get to be blessed by that information. Blessed to know. And I mean, I got a brother there, his daughters are in college. My daughters are in college. There's some common, we understand that. It's like, hey, I get that. I get that frustration. It's expensive. I get that, you know. Got a brother starting a business, and I'm like, brother, wow, I wish I was young and ambitious. Because it's like, I know the amount of energy, and I'm glad you're young, because it's going to take that youth and vigor to get that done. I wouldn't want to start that at my age for anything. But I can pray for him. I can say, what can I do to build up this brother as I pray for him in that endeavor? And I know that they're thinking about me. And it's amazing. You're going through your day and you're thinking, one of my brothers is praying about me today. One of my brothers is thinking about me today. And I am not alone in this. And I'm not isolated. I know that I got brothers. And I know if I pick up the phone and call, there's going to be a brother on the other end. I'll get at least four that immediately are going to see my phone call. Hey, I'm going to give this brother a call back, see what he's going through. And it has just been getting to know a person, getting beyond the superficial level that we mostly operate in, and getting to a point where we can kind of know some deep things, some dreams, some hopes, some desires, and even some of the struggles, and being able to build each other up in those things has been very, very, been such a blessing to me. And I always think, you know, going into the call, I say, just one more thing to do. But when I get off that phone, I'm so glad it happened. Yeah. It's like, I'm so glad I made time for that to happen, because it has never, I've never regretted the call. I've never hung up and said, man, I wish I would have been on the prayer line this time. Because it's never been. And there's plenty of things in my life that have been, I wish I wouldn't waste my time doing that. But that's never been one of them.
That's a plug-in for anybody who's a part of a group. Please be one, join one. Let's support each other. I want to, you know, for my group, I want to talk about Pete. Pete has been like the glue that keeps our group together. I mean, he's the one that has told everybody, I'm available anytime. Just call me. You don't have any time in the night, any time in the day. So, Pete, thank you for being a blessing in our group, holding us up together. And I speak for everyone in our group. Moving on here, Jesse, we all know we're supposed to be Christians, but we also know there is a higher calling to us more than being Christians, as Jesus commanded, like, go make disciples. How would you identify a disciple from a Christian?
Excellent question.
You know, it's one of the things,
you know, when Jesus, you know, the whole Great Commission, when, you know, Jesus said, go therefore into all the nations and make disciples and baptize them all the ghost. And he didn't say, go therefore into all the nations and convert people to Christianity. Right. And there was a reason for that. I believe discipleship is a discipline. It's a discipline of following Christ. It's a discipline of following Christ and knowing. Exactly. No, so I believe that it's relational. It absolutely comes down to relationship. Relationship that we have with our Father. And on when Jesus said, you know, that they're coming up to him and they're asking, you know, what's the greatest commandment? You know, Jesus says, well, you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. And second of all, right behind it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do these, you're fulfilling what God has called us to do. And it's a constant pursuing Christ in your life, in that relationship, every single day. I mean, every single day. and you want to be conformed not of this world, but what God has called us to be. We're talking about communities, and where we're looking at the gifting that God has placed in our life, not just for us to have the gift, but us to share the gift so we can build each other up. That is what the body of Christ is. It's the relation of Christ referring it, or Paul referring to it, as the bride, and you know, the bride and the bridegroom, referring to it is a marriage. Our relationship is looked at as a marriage, a commitment. And that commitment for a marriage, and that we're married to the Lord, is so holy and so important, knowing that is not, it's just every day. And I think to myself, I've been married for over 20 years, and I couldn't imagine telling my wife that I'm going to carve out 90 minutes for you on a Sunday, but the rest of the week I might come and go, I might come home. Well, I know what my wife would do. My bags would be packed, right? She's like, that's not the relationship that I signed up for. The relationship I signed up for, we're going to do life together every day. Are we going to always do it right? Well, maybe not, but we're going to work through life in this relationship together. It is a marriage, and it's supposed to be holy before the Lord, and I believe God is looking for the exact same thing, the people that follow him. We cannot put them on the shelf all day, all week long. We have to pursue that relationship every single day. Sunday should be an event of really a celebration. It should be a celebration of, man, I've been worshiping God, or we should be worshiping God all week, and then we have an opportunity to do it corporately. That's it's supposed to be like a celebration, or, you know, a word goes out. Awesome, dude, that's refreshed my spirit. That's, it should be a gas station, so to speak, that we're just getting filled up. We're getting filled up because the action is outside of the church. That's the calling. The calling is outside. So, amen.
That is good. So just to summarize what you said, so to be a Christian is likened to a boyfriend and girlfriend. But to be a disciple is likened to a marriage. That's what you're saying.
Great way to put it. It's a very great way to put it. Yeah, it is a full commitment. It's a full commitment. And you're making vows. You're making vows that you're gonna do this life together no matter what. And it's gonna be painful at times, it's gonna be hurt.
Right.
But I'm in it. God has called you to do this one thing, and he's gonna give you the grace to do it.
Right.
He doesn't want that relationship where, you know, you call me, I don't call you type of thing. He's not going to do that. And I'm afraid a lot of us are doing that. I have spent probably at least half of my Christian walk that way. I really have. I think I literally have done that, where it's been, Lord, I'm going to give you the areas of my life that are easy for me. And the other areas, don't bother asking, because I'm not giving them up. It's just a fact. Matter of fact.
Anybody relate to that? That's good. That's good.
You know, I may have never voiced that.
Yeah.
But it's your actions that will show what exactly you're doing. And I believe it's God's grace. He's always constantly pursuing us no matter what. And all you got to do is listen, because he's talking. He's listening. You know, and if we put ourselves in that position, I know that God is going to give us the grace to do the very thing he's called every one of us to do.
God wants a marriage relationship, and is waiting for us to step into a relationship like a marriage. So while we're still trying to be like boyfriends and girlfriends in this relationship, is calling us to a higher level. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Now, how many of you really see the higher calling? Because it's easier to have a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship because it's cheaper. Right? There's no much commitment, right? But when Jesus said, if you want to be mine, forsake all and follow me, that means expensive. Just like you said, the analogy of you and Sherry, there's some things you can't get away when you're married. So I think that's a good way for all of us to reflect where we are in our walk with God. Am I dating Jesus, or am I married to him? So that's something for all of us to think about. Thank you. You'll notice that we've been talking about this community a lot, and talking about pursuing doing church as we see in the Bible. Tom, what excites you? And just I'm going to ask you the same question. But Tom, what excites you about this pursuit of biblical view of church, or how we see church done in the Bible? Because we all agree that the way we do church today, even including Winning Christian Center or in the past, is not.
I think the thing that excites me the most about it is literally the sheer volume of what God can do has been so limited by the structure of the church the way it is. Yeah. And literally knowing that every single person can lay hands on somebody and pray for them to be healed, knowing that everyone can impart a word of wisdom, everyone can pray, everyone can read the Bible, everyone can bring a word if they yield to God and get their heart right in that right relationship. And the amount of energy that we spend on the production or the show or the being like the world, you know, the amount of effort and energy that goes into that, I think it's exciting to me to think, can you imagine the transactions when you know this person that lives across the street from you needs a sack of groceries and you go down to Walmart and you buy one, you just take it over there.
Right.
Boom. Easy. And then it opens up an avenue for ministry. And you eliminate the whole machine that takes so much of our energy. And you can just form that relationship. And back to the fact that most of the growth in my life, and I went to a fairly large church in Oregon, very well-known church down there, great preaching and everything. But the real true change came in my life when I sat in a couple named Alan and Arita's living room. And they were living the Word of God. And they taught me how to live the Word of God. It wasn't the preaching. The preaching was great. No, I mean, a lot of people got saved there, and I'm glad for that. I don't discount that at all. But learning how to be a disciple came from that living room. When they showed me, this is how we live our lives. This is how you live for Christ. And the miracles I seen just happening in that living room. And then other living rooms. And then just seeing that and knowing that you don't have to have this big structure around this to have this happen. So what excites me is back to getting people to realize the gift of God is in you.
Amen. Right.
Every single person here could be the same as the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
Because God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't say, I'm going to take the talented people and let them minister, and you people who don't have talent, you just sit and watch. No, he says everybody has a gift. I don't care who it is. He's looking for willing, not necessarily talented. Amen? That's what excites me about it.
That's good. That's good. Jesse?
What Tom said. That's exciting. Exciting. I think a lot of people have been hurt by the church. And I think a lot of people have left, or what they think that they have left. And they have blamed God for some hurt that's happened within organized church today, especially Christianity in the West.
Right.
What excites me is this. I believe that there are men and women out there right now that are fairly isolated. They have a heart for God. They really do. And I think there's people out there that are just flat out confused. And I believe as we go back to not something that's new, but something that's just the basic blueprint of doing church community-wise, I'm excited because I believe there's going to be healing and restoration of people's spirits. I really, really do that. I think people, I have talked, even my father, I've talked about how my dad and his generation was raised. He speaks to me about stories that I could see he's talking to me about it like it just happened yesterday, on how grabbing you by the brow and dragging you to church on Sundays and getting whipped by the belt if you didn't go to church. There was a lot of people have a distorted view of who God is. And we have an opportunity, what excites me, is to go back to what the Bible says and show people that God loves them and bring, refresh people's spirit. It's going to be a new season. And I'm seeing it right now. I'm excited about it, that we don't have to wait for once a week to have any type of fellowship. We can be in a position where
we're pursuing God, and it's going to start spilling over into areas of your life. It's going to spill into your family. It's going to spill over into your job. It's going to spill over. And I think when people start seeing that, I mean, yes, we need to speak it, but if they actually see us doing it, that's credible.
Yep.
That's truly credible. So I'm excited to see change. I'm really, really excited to see change.
Ladies and gentlemen, does any of you have any question you want to fire off up here? Yes, Tom.
I'm ready for both of you, but Dr. Tom, say you're feeling down in the dumps. Maybe you're challenged. Maybe you don't feel like you're receiving that. What do you do personally, and what do you do to reach out to your brothers to ask for that help and support that you might need?
I think it takes humility, and that's hard to do, especially with men in this culture, to be humble. And to say I need help is a hard thing to do, but I think we need to realize what Christ did, you know, and say, you know, I don't, you see, we got nailed to the cross with him, all those old attitudes. So it's up to us to leave that on the cross and humble ourselves and say, brother, I'm having a bad week. I had a bad day. I had a bad week. I need some prayer here. And knowing that it's going to be reciprocal, because, you know, sometimes somebody's going to call you and say the same thing. So that is the one thing, humble yourself and say, you know something, I'm going to get over myself and ask for help. And sometimes the strongest thing you can do as a man in this culture is ask somebody else for help.
That was great. Just maybe I'll add this to it. One of the things that I struggle with in my own life regarding this, Tom, and thanks for the question, is pride. I struggle with that a lot, of asking, wanting to ask for help. But knowing, man, the Bible is so loaded when it talks about pride. It really is. And recognizing what it is, like what Tom said over here, you know, humble ourselves, recognize, I know pride's at work, and I'm just going to get past that, and constantly nailing yourself back to the cross with what was said. So I think it's what we just have to recognize. That's great that we recognize it. I think that's the first step. We recognize that I don't want to do this, but just making that step.
Right. Cool. Anybody else? Yes, Pete.
Well, I have a question, but it was very interesting this morning that for everybody, a quick scripture. What these guys have been talking about is almost in line for line. Second Thessalonians is only three chapters long, and it's like outlined. It's almost like a summary of what you guys have been talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's a letter to Thessalonians that's,
you guys can take a little time this week to read that. It'll summarize what these guys were talking about today. And it's no accident that they were spot on, like, all the way through those three chapters. It's a good study on what we're talking about today.
I'm glad you shared that, because this is the second week in a row. Because you said that, and you said, I'm reading this, and it's lining right up with what's being said. And last week, another sister showed me a scripture. John was tracking, and she said, this is what I posted on Facebook this morning that God showed me. So it's like God confirming what he's saying to his people. It says in the Bible, by two or three witnesses, a thing is established. You know, and it's like he says something, I say something, the word of God says it. It's like God's saying, hey, if you didn't hear me the first time, here's another example, and here's another example of what I'm trying to tell you. And it's a wonderful thing to see the Word of God confirmed, and how God is speaking to people through different resources. That's through the written Word. One was through Jesse, one was through John, and just those things. And like I said, 2 weeks in a row that I've heard from people, that's exactly what God was showing me before I showed up for church this morning.
That's awesome.
Amen. I want to add something real quick to that. So that was a great explanation, Tom. Also, what Pete just said, this is great. Even in the church days, when Paul was writing letters, and they were confirming. what Paul was writing based on the scriptures. So just because we're up here sharing what we think about this and that, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, not just taking our word for what we're saying, but that it aligns with the word of God. That's what being a disciple is. You go back. It doesn't matter what we say, right? It matters what is written. So thank you for bringing that up, Pete. I think that's a very good closed loop on that. For that. Thank you.
I just had a comment. I think I mentioned this before, that when we first started with the groups, you know, I kind of had raised an eyebrow kind of a thing. And then got into the groups. And I don't know how this happened, but we have our group prayer right before the Wednesday night prayer. And talking about a double portion. I get excited because at first this came to me, and we've all talked about the isolation, how you don't want, well, I don't want to bother anybody or that kind of a thing. But I had to use it as the analogy of going to the gym and working out. You know, we come up with all kinds of excuses. We sometimes come up with all kinds of excuses not to go work out. But how much better do we feel when we've actually made that effort and have done that? And that's the way it is for us on Wednesday prayer. You know, at first, like I was saying, I was looking at a gym, you know, coming up with excuses why I may not be able to be on the line, this kind of a thing. But with the ladies that are on the prayer line, and how we kind of let things flow. We don't really have an agenda, and we let things kind of flow. Maybe a person will say something from last week that was an issue, and I might ask, how did that go? And then we find that, for real, where two or three are gathered in his name, we are so blessed, and we feel like doing acrobats. Am I right?
Yeah.
When we're finished, and then we have the opportunity to do it again at Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So it is truly God moving us to another level where we do know that we need to be married to him and him alone.
Well, I just wanted to say, on Wednesday, we had prayer night, and Pastor Don asked everyone to close their eyes in their room and ask God, what does he want from you, or what, you know, what you need to do. And I sat there, and I closed my eyes, and I prayed to God, and then something told me to open my Bible. So I opened my Bible, and it was Proverbs 2, and it was Proverbs 2 to all the way from 1 to 22, but I have a study Bible, and then on one of the little squares in the study Bible, it said, God rewards the seeker. And it says, treasure, incline your ear, apply your heart, cry out, lift up your voice, seek, search. These are all the deliberate actions of a determined person who is pursuing wisdom. God will not fail to reward those who pursue what is good. That's what the message God wanted me to have. And then from Proverbs 2 all the way 1 through 22 was telling me what I needed to do to get there.
Okay, so the last 2 weeks we were on vacation in California. And God, the whole entire time I was being spoken to in so many ways. And the whole thing, the entire time, and even when we were there, we would like listen to what you spoke of on that Sunday through the phone, through the app. But even my mother-in-law, yeah, even after we went to church there, but even my mother-in-law gave me a necklace that said, be intentional. And the whole time we were there, everything was about intention, intention, intention. And what you said just now, like the difference between being a Christian and a disciple is girlfriend, boyfriend versus being a spouse in marriage. And when you're married, you have to live with intention. Intention of being committed, of being faithful, of being honest and honorable. And I feel like also the difference between saying I'm a Christian and saying I'm a disciple is being intentional of living what you speak. It's not just speaking, saying, oh, I'm a Christian. It's like, okay, well, how did your life reflect that? Do the words you speak reflect your relationship? Are you being a good example? Are you watching the right things that you should? Are you still out there watching things that you probably shouldn't? Are you listening? Are you taking into your soul? Like if you're saying, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm listening to music that's talking about hoes and drugs and all this other stuff, that's, you're not living with intention. And I feel like everything that we do as a disciple is to let go of the things that are just for a moment of enjoyment, as opposed to filling your spirit and your mind and helping you to truly walk as God's disciple is like huge.
Did this gentleman do a great job today? Come on, give a hand to this gentleman. Thank you, guys.